Almighty God, look graciously, we pray, on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We'll be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper, he shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? He was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him, the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish, he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Holy God, holy mighty. I'm John. Yes, I was there. Jesus and I were close friends, and I was there the whole time. At the Passover meal, we sat next to each other, and I received from him the bread and the wine. This is my body, he said, and this is my blood. Beautiful words, and I realized what they meant. I listened in disbelief and dismay when Jesus said that one of us would betray him. And when he said, "Tonight all of you will desert me," I just couldn't believe him. We were his close followers. We loved him. We would not desert him. When we came to the Garden of Gethsemane afterwards, Jesus chose me, along with Peter and my brother James, to go with him further into the garden where he prayed to God. I am ashamed to say that I fell asleep like the other two. Not just once, three times. Jesus' words, "Could you not stay awake with me 1 hour," have haunted me. It's as if they are burned into my heart.
Peter. I was there, though there were some parts I'd like to forget. Like my rash words, maybe the others will desert you, O Lord, but not me. I said that very confidently. And when Jesus turned to me and said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times, I was shocked. I was hurt. Why would he say such a thing as that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, I was all zeal and bravado. I felt like I could protect Jesus from all the clubs and the swords of the crowd that showed up. I bravely shipped out my sword, and I cut off the ear of the priest's servant. It was a stupid, impulsive thing to do. But it's my denial of Jesus that torments me. There at that courtyard fire, I couldn't even admit it to the maid. Yes, I know Jesus. He's my friend. I'm his follower. Instead, I said, no, I don't know the man. Why couldn't I identify with him? Why couldn't I stand up for Jesus when he was facing the jeering crowds, the interrogation? Now I know how people feel when they wish they could go back and live some part of their lives over again. I wish I could have another chance, do it better. And now whenever I hear a rooster crow, I think to myself, I couldn't have been more faithless, more cowardly.
I'm Judas. I was hoping you wouldn't ask. I was hoping that what I did would be something you wouldn't want to hear about. No, I didn't see Jesus crucified, but I was there eating the Passover meal with him after I had already agreed to betray him. I left the dinner early to join those whom I was collaborating. Today, together we came to the Garden of Gethsemane, me and the servant of the high priest and the elders, the police, a noisy mob with clubs and swords, the 30 silver coins the priests and elders have given to me to do what were in my pocket, and now it was time for me to deliver. And I did. I delivered Jesus into their hands. We'd agreed that I'd identify him with a kiss. I'm not proud of that. Afterwards, those coins burned a tunnel in my soul. I knew it. I knew it was blood money. I knew I had done a dastardly thing. I know, but what's done cannot be undone.
I'm Caiaphas, and of course I was there. It was my duty to do something about the man who was defying all of our traditions and the authority of the temple. I was the one who told everyone, it's better that one man should die for the people, though I realized that sometimes language is double-edged, and you might understand those words differently than I do. You see, I firmly believe that sometimes the end justifies the means, and sometimes you have to manipulate a mob to get a necessary thing done, even if it's not so pleasant. When we interrogated Jesus, he was not cooperative, and in my opinion, he was inexcusably blasphemous too. That sort of thing can't be tolerated. I did my best to get credible witnesses whose stories would indict him. That didn't work too well. So I appealed to the people's adherence to religious tradition. I worked their emotions till they yelled out, as I hoped they would, "Crucify him."
Yeah, I was there. Not at the crucifixion exactly, but as far as I know, when I saw Jesus, he was already a doomed man. I'm part of a whole line of Herods. I always wanted to see him, this Jew whose birth scared one Herod so badly, he had scores of baby boys killed to get rid of a possible rival. Well, he failed. He didn't know that the real king was safe in Egypt. Jesus had attracted a following, and that interested me. I'd heard about the signs and wonders he performed, and the prospect of seeing him perform a miracle intrigued me. But he wouldn't perform. Wouldn't answer my questions. A man in my position wants compliance on the spot. This man did not comply. Well, as I said, he was doomed in any case. Was I being cynical, putting that royal velvet robe around his shoulder? I suppose so. And I didn't stop the soldiers from taunting and abusing him. Soldiers are a rough lot. They take their pleasure where they can. The crucifixion took place as scheduled, I hear. I didn't give it much further thought.
I wish I hadn't been there. I'm Pilate, Pontius Pilate, they call me. Really, I wanted nothing to do with any of it. I realized right away this Jesus was not a criminal. He wasn't evil, and he certainly didn't deserve to die. Personally, I would have liked to have let him go. My wife begged me not to get involved. I didn't care particularly what happened to him, but I really didn't want to be involved in such dirty politics. I wish the high priest and his gang could have handled it themselves any way they wanted to, but they wanted nothing short of blood. I quickly understood that, and they needed my authority to do it officially. It was that threat, I guess, that persuaded me. If you don't do it, you won't be the emperor's friend any longer. A psyched-up crowd can exert unbelievable pressure. So you could say it was political expediency that made me hand Jesus over to be crucified. Who wants to lose a secure job? And yes, it's true that I said, "What is truth?" Said it cynically, I suppose. But I want to remind you that I tried to prevent his death. When they asked me to set a prisoner free, like every year, in honor of the Holy Day, I was hoping they'd come to their senses and choose Jesus of Nazareth. I didn't think much of that volatile, frenzied crowd when they chose Barabbas, so in the end it was the rabble that decided it, you might say. And that bit about me washing my hands. If I told you I woke up night after night after the crucifixion, dreaming I was washing my hands to remove the blood, you would understand the guilt and misery I have lived with. If I've learned anything from this whole unfortunate business, it's this. It's no use trying to weasel out of taking responsibility for your decisions. It doesn't work.
I've been an officer in the Roman army for longer than I like to admit. I was there closer than anyone. You can't crucify a condemned man without touching his body. You hear his breathing, smell the sweat, and try not to see the fear in his eyes. Except in this case, it wasn't so much fear as compassion that I saw as I did the ugly thing, drove the nails through his hands and feet. Someone has to do the dirty work. And you can't blame our unit for throwing dice for the dying man's clothes. Our pay isn't so good that it doesn't need to be topped up a bit. And what would you expect us to do while waiting for a man to die? Sometimes death is a long time coming. I was following orders. Wasn't my idea, not my choice. You understand that, don't you? I was just following orders.
It was by chance that I was there, I am from Cyrene, and Simon is my name. I saw this procession winding out of the city, and I knew it was probably another crucifixion. I saw a man struggling with his cross. I always thought it was going too far to make a condemned man carry his own cross. He's not going to make it, I thought to myself. And then, before I knew what was happening, someone was yelling at me. Someone grabbed me, and someone else laid that wooden cross on my shoulders. And suddenly, I found myself carrying Jesus' cross for him. So I've had the experience of carrying a cross not meant for me. But thinking about it later, I believe that cross was meant for me, and I've become convinced, this may sound odd to you, that I was given an opportunity, a chance to do something gracious and good. I've never regretted it. It changed my life.
I was there. I was always there, it seems. I was there at his birth, giving him birth. I was there in Jerusalem when he scared Joseph and me almost to death by disappearing. And afterwards, I thought about his words. I must be in my Father's house. He was a rather thoughtful 12-year-old. Later, he used to say, I must be about my Father's business. And he wasn't talking about carpentry. Yes, I was there when my son died, and I don't have words to describe the pain. Maybe if you're a mother, you can imagine it. I thought of that old man, Simon, who was in the temple when Joseph and I first brought Jesus there with our offering. A sword will pierce your heart, the old man said. I didn't know what he meant. I know now. I was happy and so proud of my son. One of the last things Jesus did was to tell his friend John to look after me. There is your mother, he told John. And then he said to me, there is your son. He was always compassionate like that, always thinking about the other person. And so he died. I wasn't left without a family, but my heart was torn with a terrible sorrow.
I was there, all right, and for me, it meant literally my life. When Pilate asked the crowd, which of us two they wanted freed, me or Jesus, I naturally expected them to say Jesus. He was better known than me. Everyone had heard about Jesus. Me, on the other hand, I'm a nobody. Just a petty criminal. When they yelled my name, Barabbas, give us Barabbas, I was stunned. That day I walked away, a free man, and Jesus was crucified for me.
They crucified me on the same day, right next to him. There was a third guy, too. Him and me, we were the scum, you might say. We were criminals, and we deserved to die. The other guy taunted Jesus, daring him to get us all down from the cross. If you are the Messiah, why don't you save all three of us from death, he said. But I could tell Jesus was not like us. Maybe he was the Son of God, like he claimed, though. So I said, think of me when you come into your kingdom. And he turned and blessed me by just looking at me, and he said, truly I say, today you will be with me in paradise.
I was there at the crucifixion. I was in charge of the dirty work. But let me tell you something. When I heard his last words, when I saw the way he died, there's no doubt in my mind that this man was the Son of God. That's who we executed that day, the Son of God.
I'm Joseph of Arimathea. And no, I wasn't there. Not at the crucifixion, anyway. But when it was discussed in council, those endless discussions about how to get rid of this troublesome one, I was against their suggestions. This wasn't a criminal we were dealing with. I knew he threatened our leaders with his authoritative teaching and his popularity with the crowds. But to execute him? That was wrong. Well, he didn't listen to me. Maybe I didn't speak up enough. That night, after Jesus died on that terrible cross, I was the one who took down his body. I guessed that there probably wasn't a tomb for him. So I had decided to lay him in mine. I bought a length of linen and I wrapped him in it. It was dark by then, and so Nicodemus agreed to come with me. Both of us were believers, I might as well tell you that. But our faith in Jesus was new and not very bold. This burial was something we did for him, but it's so little when I think of what he did for us. for me. Surely he was wounded for my transgressions, and by his wounds and bruises I am healed.
Yes, I was there too. Sometimes we follow the procession when there was to be an execution. You may consider that morbid, cruel, but life was rough, and we saw all of it. That day, the crowd was large and restless. The procession was long. And I heard that that one of the condemned was that Jesus of Nazareth, the one they called the healer, the teacher. I wasn't surprised they were crucifying him. Our elders and priests did not support him. I think they were jealous of him just because he attracted the crowds. He was especially popular with the sick and the poor. That sort were always hanging around him when he came to Jerusalem. As I watched him carry that heavy cross, I thought of all the burdens I bore myself. And let me tell you, they've been plenty. Children who are wayward, my husband, unable to find ways to earn enough to keep us fed. And always that feeling of not being good enough, of having failed. All those sacrifices I carried to the temple, were they ever enough? Above Jesus' cross, I read the words, King of the Jews. I don't know who put them there, but I thought it was a cruel irony. You don't crucify a king, you honor him. I stayed there a long while watching. 6 or 7 times I decided I couldn't bear it anymore. And I turned to go. But just as I began to leave, Jesus spoke. I couldn't always make out what his words, but I remember when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I felt included in that prayer. I felt forgiven. Everything I've been carrying around for so long, all the baggage seemed not so important. Maybe I could get free of all that after all. As I stood watching at the cross, my eyes filled with tears. And my heart overflowed with love and with gratitude. It was like nothing else I have ever experienced. Thank you.
We're pilgrims, just like you. Where am I? I confess, I am not always at the cross. It's easy to be distracted and to lose focus.
I confess, I'm not always grateful for the cross and the death of Jesus. A person gets busy with all sorts of things.
Good things, mind you, like family and church committees and responsibilities to aging parents, community projects.
Activities, shopping, work. Life gets hectic.
And burdensome. Yes, burdensome. That's a good word for it.
I confess, I try to carry my own burdens.
And to work out my own salvation.
I like to be in control.
I wonder, do I betray Jesus with my self-sufficiency?
Do I deny him with my self-centered living? Do I have affluenza?
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way.
We have been ungrateful.
Our hearts have not been humble.
Our spirits are not contrite.
Teach us how to find your presence, O God, at the cross.
Teach us how to share the death of Jesus.
He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed.
Dear people of God, our Heavenly Father sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that all who believe in him might be delivered from the power of sin and death, and become heirs with him of eternal life.
Let us pray for the Church of God throughout the world, for unity in faith, in witness, and in service, for bishops and other ministers and those whom they serve, for David, our bishop and metropolitan, and the people of this diocese, for Anne, our acting primate, Matthias, Bishop of Hull, for all Christians in this place. for those everywhere to be baptized, confirmed, or received into the Anglican Church, for those who are mocked and persecuted for their faith, that God will confirm his church in faith, increase it in love, and preserve it in peace. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people in their vocation and ministry, that they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray for the nations of the world and their leaders, for Charles, our king, Louise, our lieutenant governor, and the parliament of this land, for those who administer the law and all who serve in public office, for Mark, our prime minister, Susan, our premier, and Kate, the mayor of this municipality, for all who strive for justice and reconciliation, that by God's help the world may live in peace and freedom. Let us pray.
Most gracious God and Father, in whose will is our peace, turn our hearts and the hearts of all to yourself, that by the power of your Spirit, the peace which is founded on your justice may be established throughout the world, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for God's ancient people, the Jews, the first to hear his word, for greater understanding between Christian and Jew, for the removal of our blindness and bitterness of heart, that God will grant us grace to be faithful to his covenant and to grow in the love of his name. Let us pray.
Lord, you are there. Lord, you are there. And I call the Lord, you are there.
Lord God of Abraham, bless the children of your covenant, both Jew and Christian. Take from us all blindness and bitterness of heart, and hasten the coming of your kingdom, when the Gentiles shall be gathered in, all Israel shall be saved, and we shall dwell together in mutual love and peace under the one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe the gospel of Christ, for those who have not heard the message of salvation, for all who have lost faith, for the contemptuous and scornful, for those who are enemies of Christ and persecute those who follow him, for all who deny the faith of Christ crucified, that God will open their hearts to the truth and lead them to faith and obedience. Let us pray.
Merciful God, creator of all the people of the earth, have compassion on all who do not know you, and by the preaching of your gospel with grace and power, gather them into the one fold of the one shepherd, Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for all those who suffer, for those who are deprived and oppressed, for all who are sick, for those in darkness, in doubt and in despair, in loneliness and fear, for prisoners, captives, and refugees, for the victims of false accusations and violence, for all at the point of death and those who watch beside them, that God in his mercy will sustain them with the knowledge of his love. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, the comfort of the sad, the strength of those who suffer, hear the prayers of your children who cry out of any trouble. And to every distressed soul grant mercy, relief, and refreshment. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us commend ourselves and all God's children to his unfailing love and pray for the grace of a holy life, that with all who have died in the peace of Christ, we may come to the fullness of eternal life and the joy of the resurrection. Let us pray. Thank you.
God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, and by the tranquil operation of your perpetual providence, carry out the work of our salvation. And let the whole world feel and see that things which were cast down are now being raised up, and things which had grown old are now being made new, and that all things are returning to perfection through him for whom they look and took their origin, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ our Lord became obedient unto death. Come, let us worship. O Savior of the world, by your cross and precious blood, you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly beseech you, O Lord.
Thank you.
We'll stand for Anthem 3. We glory in your cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify your holy resurrection, for by virtue of your cross, joy has come to the whole world. May God be merciful to us and bless us, show us the light of his countenance, and come to us. Let your ways be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. We glory in your cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify your holy resurrection, for by virtue of your cross, joy has come to the whole world. As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.